There's a passage from Book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 12, which is read during Holy Week from the Book of Common Prayer, during morning prayer. And it says this, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me." I ask you just to hold that in mind, if you would, in the course of the teaching this morning. Now, those of you who have been here for any length of time and have heard me preach more than a few times know that I make a great effort to study that what I teach is approved by the Word, that it is orthodox, which means right teaching, that it is a part of the understanding of the church through the ages, and that it does not take creative liberty with the gospel or with the Word of God. And I'm not going to do that this morning. But what I'm also not going to do this morning is a systematic theology of syllogisms and proofs. One of the things which I think is common, particularly in evangelical churches, that we seem to feel that everything that we hear about and see needs to be explained. And some things, I think, are really mysteries of the heart, which need to be heard with the heart rather than simply with the reason. And that's what I want to share this morning. I want us to have a heart understanding of God's suffering for us. There is abroad in this land and in the world an idea about God which actually comes from Eastern philosophy, from Buddhism particularly, and even from a section of Hinduism, which is that God is implacable, that there is no emotion in God because somehow he is above and beyond all of that. This is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is passionate and jealous of his people. He is described as love by Jesus, not as having love, as being love. And he grows angry when the people for whom he is jealous are hurt. And it breaks his heart when the people that he created turn away. This is not an emotionless God. And it is this passionate God in whose image we are made. I had a dream last night. This is literally true. About someone who I love very much. And when I got up this morning, actually, this woke me in the middle of the night, and I wrestled and travailed about it for a long, long time. And then got up very, very early and began to write this down because it had moved me so much. And this is what I said as I began to write. "You were in my dreams and were very unhappy, but couldn't let me comfort you. And this left me very unhappy and helpless, in great anguish. I woke from this about 1:30 and was awake again until after 3, just in travail. I fell asleep and woke again just after 4 and saw Jesus on the cross, separated from the love he had always known. and the father, who couldn't comfort him, also helpless, both helpless and in anguish and in great travail. I saw this separation, not the physical pain of the crucifixion, as the reason Jesus was in such great distress in the garden. He saw it coming, but accepted it for us. For us. I realize that our love for each other and the pain of separation is the same as this. Not in degree, but in kind. It is a cross we bear and it hurts like hell. I see that the greater the love, the greater the pain of separation, even when brief, even when only for a time, even if we know that it will end and union will come again. I realize that this is also about the character of the love of God and the pain we cause in leaving him. And the even greater pain that the greatest love caused when Jesus was separated from him at the cross. Remember, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he experienced the separation he knew was coming, we caused this for him. And he accepted it willingly, with anguish so great that he sweated blood in the garden, knowing that this separation was coming. But he did it. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. These are the words of Jesus. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. That's Jesus to his disciples, knowing what they will experience in their separation from him, though it will not touch what he experiences in his separation from his Father. One of the enormous privileges and greatest burdens of being a pastor is that you are permitted to be with people when they die. And I have had this privilege many, many times. I have seen people go into death with fear. I have seen people go into death in great pain. And I have seen people go into death with perfect peace, knowing the arms of the one that they were moving into. I don't believe even the crucifixion, even that horrible death on the cross, is what grieved Jesus so deeply in the garden. I believe it was first his separation from us, when having been created in love and given the garden of pleasure, we turned away disobediently, and how each of us does that in our own lives. And I believe it was also the separation that he knew was coming. The one who had been in the deepest love of any love that ever had existed throughout all eternity, and that he knew that there would be separation from that. And the anguish, which both the anticipation of it and then the reality of it on the cross produced in his heart. And so the message of Easter isn't just that Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death, but that he underwent willingly, actually the whole Godhead underwent the greatest pain possible for the sake of the world, for the sake of us, for the sake of me, for the sake of you. At this we must stand in awe, in fear and trembling, that such a price would be paid for me, for you. We caused it. We separated, causing the first anguish. Then they separated to pay the price to redeem us and to bring us back into the union of love. Jesus said this in John 17, praying to his Father before this time, before the crucifixion, before the separation, he prayed this, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, completed in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. And in that, for that purpose, he knowingly went to the cross, knowing the separation that waited there for him. This is the God we serve. This willingness to be separated from the eternal love, that we might know that eternal love. This is the God we serve. The one who gave everything for us. And the anguish of the whole Godhead in this separation for us. Then rejoined, regathered out of enduring might, the Holy Spirit moving to cross that separation, to bring back to life that dead and lifeless human body, and to rejoin the eternally loved and separated one with the three who had always loved each other, and who had made us in their image and had allowed separation that we might too be rejoined again in that love. And it is that resurrection, that coming back to life, that we know on this Easter day, that truth which changes everything about human life. This is the God we serve. We can only stand in awe.